Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Time to Text podcast. I'm your host, Chad Clifton, and today we're picking back up with part two of Brother David Trawick's testimony, and he's sharing stories with us of what God is doing there in Honduras, and we're excited to be back listening to this story today. We recorded this a couple weeks ago there in Tennessee while we were at the Fire Conference, and we were able to sit down with Brother David. We played part of it last week. We'll be playing part of it this week, and next week we will finish with Brother David, and we are so thankful for the time we were able to spend with him and the story he was able to tell. And we hope you're being blessed by this, and we're going to go ahead now and pick back up with Brother David.
And another part of our prayer life should be our devotional reading life. Yes. And I know some people, especially young folks, we get, I keep saying we,
right.
And I'm 55.
That's okay.
Well, I'm 41, you know, so that's
There are some folks here at this Pentecostal Fire Youth Conference that are a good bit older than me.
Sure.
So to them, I am young person.
Absolutely.
Now, y'all don't fall out with me on that, young folks. But young people sometimes don't realize that the Word of God can be for us. Now, listen, yes. I understand the begats, they're boring.
Absolutely.
There's no other way to say it. Yes. We can't pronounce half the names. We don't even understand, because we don't have that Jewish mentality.
Right.
We don't even understand the reason for all this stuff.
Right.
Why it's in the Bible. And then the repetition, you know, where Moses is telling the children of Israel, this is what God told me, and I told your fathers. And then he tells them again that this is what I told your fathers. And we're thinking, you just said that, Moses. You know, why are you repeating yourself?
Right.
But there are parts of the Bible that we do find interesting.
Right.
And I would recommend you just throw yourself into that. Now, I believe in trying to read the Bible through every year.
Absolutely.
But go back and reread the story, yes, of Samson. Go back and reread the story of crossing the Jordan River. If you liked that part, why do you have to only read it once a year?
Right.
Read it again.
Think
about it. Imagine in your mind, what would it have been like to see Moses stretch that rod out over the Red Sea and go walking through on sand, not mud.
Right.
But sand.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe I got too much imagination, but I live in an area where the water's crystal clear.
Wow.
And you can look down and see fish swimming. You can snorkel and see all kinds of marine life. And I can just, in my mind, see myself walking across, you know, on sand, and the sea is walled up beside me. And I'm looking through there and seeing manta rays.
Yes, sir.
Or I'm seeing, you know, some barracuda. And can you imagine a 12-year-old boy as he's walking across the parted Red Sea, and he's looking down thinking there's no mud? Oh, look, there's a barracuda. I don't know if those things happen, but when I read the Bible, I like to try to think,
yes,
of it that way, because, yeah, they experienced it for real.
Yes, sir.
It's not just fiction.
Yes, sir.
In fact, it's not fiction at all.
Yes, sir.
It's a true story.
I think that imagination, like you said, helps us to see the reality and the human,
yeah,
aspect of somebody saw this through their eyes.
Yeah, and that makes me think, what would it have been like? And I like to experience it through them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first aquarium.
I would have been sticking.
I didn't think about it.
I'd have been sticking my hand, yeah, in the water like, I'm gonna fucking touch the fish.
My mom, David, get over here.
Yeah. Right. Just take your basket and start scooping them as,
yeah,
you walk them up.
You know they had fish dinner.
You know it.
You know when they got on the other side, it was fish dinner. All you could eat.
We got a buffet. You came through on dry ground and a buffet.
So, oh, yeah, young folks, I really want to encourage them to get into the Word of God, read the parts they love.
Yes.
Go ahead and read the parts that are difficult, struggle through it. That's part of discipline.
Yes.
Pray, seek God.
Yes.
And just try to make the Lord your friend, because He wants to be.
Yes, He does.
As He guides us, He wants to be our friend. And He'll love us when we feel like no one else will.
Yes, He will. And as I was saying there a moment ago, you know, prayer is one of the easiest things we can do, but it's one of the most powerful things we can do.
Right.
But yet the devil seems to make it the most complicated thing that we can do.
He tries to.
Because he tries to distract us from it. He tries to say, oh, you ain't got time to do that. And
in this day and age of short attention,
yes,
you know, a million things will pop in your head.
Absolutely.
So it's good when we can get that into control, like riding a horse and, you know, using the reins to,
yes, sir,
to direct the horse where you want. We can use prayer to direct our life in discipline.
Now, this has kind of already been spoken about a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit more about it, because one of the points of this podcast is to encourage young people that, well, not just young people, but to encourage people that if you can be used of God, no matter what age you are. If you're 5 years old, I mean, I know of a guy right now who's a good friend of mine that he, you know, he was a picture of a biker dude, basically. You know, he had the beard, he had the long ponytail, he was a tough guy, but he was unsaved, but he would take his daughter to his youth camp. And he could tell the preachers, no, I'm not going to pray right now and everything. But one night, his little girl, 5 years old, came up to him and said, Daddy, I think it's time you pray. And he said his heart just broke and the tears started flowing. And he went to the altar that night, and here it is probably 40 years later or so. And he saved, and he was still helping to keep that youth camp going and things. And there are so many ways as a young person God can use you. There's so many ways as a middle-aged person God can use you. And there's ways as an older person that God can use you. And so it don't matter what age you're at. In my opinion, and I feel like Brother Trawick's going to agree, that God can use you. And so the question that we ask just about all of our guests that we have on the show is, just as basically confirmation, do you feel like God can still use a young person today?
I would have to emphatically say absolutely.
I agree.
100%. Without a doubt, God can use young people in many areas and ways.
Yes.
That they don't even have to work hard to do it. Just be their self.
Yes.
And allow the Lord to guide their steps and say the things that bring glory to God. And it's going to be a light in this world, as dark as it is,
yes,
and in America, as dark as it is. A young person who lives a clean life, who has a good heart, who has the radiance of the Spirit of God in them, folks notice it.
Yes, they do.
And I think it'll draw people. So, yeah, the Lord not only can, but He desires to use young people.
Oh, yes, sir. That's so encouraging to me. I'm not a young person. I'm 41. I try to count myself as young because I hang out with all these young people. But I love to see God move on these little guys.
Yes.
I love praying with them around the altar. I love seeing those tears being shed. I love seeing them reach and try to pray for others. And I mean, my heart is so in that, and that type of thing just, it blesses me in such a way. And, you know, we do prison ministries and we do nursing home ministry, and we've been in the prisons where the gentleman comes up to us and he's bawling and he says, my son is following the same path that I went down.
Right.
Will you please pray that my son finds God and does not end up where I am? And, you know, so when I see that side of it, and then I can go into the house of God and I can see Him move on young people. And, you know, we got young preachers in our church, you know, 16 years old and things. And to be able to see God move on them and shaping their lives, man, it gets a hold of me.
Yes.
And I love that. And I'm so thankful for that. You got anything to jump in or add there, Luke?
Well, I just want to say, I guess, to anybody that's listening, if you're a young person, it don't matter how young you are or how old you are, if you will really, for real,
yes,
let the Lord deal with you, it don't matter what you think you know.
Right.
Or if you'll really, for real, let the Lord deal with your heart, He'll do a work in your life, and He'll walk with you every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're an older person, you know, older, if you have a kid or something, if you will encourage your kid and help, if you'll allow the Lord to work in their life, they'll never forget that. I don't care how old or how young they are, they'll never forget.
You're exactly right.
No matter where they go in life.
You're exactly right. Now, these next questions, Brother Trawick, are more of a getting to know you type thing.
Okay.
And because you get to visit a lot of people, you get to have a large reach, I guess you would say, on that. But everybody still don't get to sit down and spend time with you like we are today. So these are just some getting to know you type questions. But what would these are difficult, I think, because how do you narrow down how do you narrow down the Word of God? You know, how do you narrow down all the songs you've heard in your life and things? But if you could pick out a favorite scripture, or maybe a couple favorite scriptures, what would be your favorites?
Well, one that I got a hold of while I was in my teens, I think it was, or early 20s anyway, is found in Amos chapter 7. And I was at Bible school at Free Gospel in Pennsylvania and studying the prophet Amos.
Yes.
And we came across chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me," verse 15, "as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel." And the reason that stuck out to me was my parents had had that bad divorce.
Right.
And, I'd gone to Bible school, and there were fellas there that their daddy was a preacher, their granddaddy was a preacher. There were fellas there that were from churches that were pretty famous.
Yeah.
And there I was from just a little Assembly God church in Texarkana, and nobody knew who my pastor was, certainly nobody knew who my dad was. And the Bible, when the Lord said, or Amos, you know, saying that I wasn't a prophet, I wasn't even a prophet's son, but the Lord took me.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I thought, that's what I want.
Yes, sir.
That's what I need, is for the Lord to take me and, almost snatch you up and say, I've got more for you than
glory to God.
Being a Marine. And that's what I'd always wanted to do, was follow Dad's footsteps.
Right.
Go into Marines, you know, and do all the same things my dad did.
Sure.
But then God took me, and he said, I got something bigger.
Yeah.
Well, my dad was an artillery man, and I've pulled a lanyard on a howitzer, and that's pretty powerful. You know, and I've driven a tank.
Wow.
And you can't hardly imagine much bigger than that.
Right.
Especially when you're from small people. My daddy was 5'3". And so, you know,
wow,
driving a tank felt pretty powerful.
Yes.
And pulling that lanyard on that cannon and it going kaboom, you know, I thought that was the greatest. But
absolutely.
But then God said, got something. And
yes,
took me and sent me out and said, go prophesy, preach.
Yeah.
And so that's always been one of my favorite passages. And when I feel like maybe I'm not doing much, I go back to that.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, Lord, take me again.
Yes.
Take me again. And that's one of my favorites right there. I really like that one.
That's great. That question is always so difficult because a lot of times
favorites
are circumstantial. And, you know what I mean? Like, and when I say that, what I mean is like, maybe I'm going through a trial.
Yeah.
So this scripture speaks to me and it's pulling me out, and you're like, oh, that's my favorite. Well, then when you get out of it and you're in a rejoicing, you come across this scripture and you're like, oh, this one just became my favorite. So it's hard to choose, you know, from. But that, like you said, that encompasses really everything.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful selection. And other than the Bible, what would you say is your favorite book?
Well, I like the book My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. And I like that because, again, this is really strange maybe, but Dad was 5'3".
Yeah.
His mother was 4'6", my granny.
Wow.
My mom's 5'. I got 3 sisters. None of them hit 5 foot tall. So we were little.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of a thing called short man syndrome. I had it.
Yeah.
I had it bad. And so to succeed in different things like football.
Yes.
Baseball. And I wanted to at school. I wanted to be the best. I had to give my utmost. I had to give extra from what other guys did. And so when I found that book and I realized that I can give my utmost, my best, my even stretch myself beyond what I think I can do for His highest.
Because
the end goal is to bring honor to the King of Kings.
Yes, sir.
And His highest goals should be our highest goals.
Yes, sir.
And so that's one reason I like that. Then I like a modern book. Maybe I like the book Radical by David Platt. He wrote a book about, I feel like the premise of the book was you have to love, have a global vision, and love those you don't know before you can ever truly reach and love those you do know. Because the folks that we go to the store with, the folks that we sit in the lawn chair beside at the family reunion, we know them. And we know how they're going to treat us.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to love them.
Yes.
But if God can give me a love for somebody I don't know, some random Jose in a foreign country, or an Ahmad in a Muslim nation, if God can give me a love for a person like that and show me how to reach to them, then I think God can show me how to reach my own people and try to get a hold of them. So I really like that book, Radical. Now, I don't follow all of David Platt's doctrinal stands, but I do like that book, Radical, because it tells us that, and in this day and age, we all feel like the Lord's coming back soon. And I think it's time that we break our shell that we've been in and we become radical.
Absolutely.
Radically trying to win people for the Lord. And that may put us out there. It may offend some. It will. Scripture says it will.
Yeah.
But I want to be radical for Christ.
Yes.
And not crazy. Not wild. Not a loose cannon. But I want to be radical for the Lord and just give Him my utmost.
We had a situation just a few months ago that shook us and made us realize really just how urgent really the time is right now. You know,
yes, sir.
And so we, at that point, I said to myself, we've got to start reaching all that we can. And so I understand exactly what you're saying there. What about a favorite song? Do you have a favorite song?
That's a tough one too, because like you say, I find myself with a bunch of favorites. But currently, my favorite song is First Church of Mercy, and I like the version that a group called The Sound is a father and son sing. And it's a song about a man going to church that he doesn't look like everybody else in church. His past is not, he thinks, is not like everybody else is in church. He feels like the problems he has are not like everybody else is in the church.
Yeah.
But instead of the church pushing him out because of those differences, they welcome him to the First Church of Mercy. And it, through that, he comes to know Jesus at the altar.
Wow.
And then the song mentions there's a lot of us here who've been right where you are.
Yes.
And I know, you know, because of my past of walking away from grace and walking away from Christ, that sometimes we can think, man, I've just really messed up. And we don't think we can get back. But that song talks about how the Lord is always merciful. And the church, I want my church to be a church of mercy.
Yes.
I want when people come in for them to feel love. Now, I'm not going to accept sin, but I'm going to love that person. I remember that when I left the first church I pastored and went to the second church, there was a man in that first church, and he was kind of up and down. He'd be in a while, and he'd be out a little while, be in a while, out a little while. And he had some hang-ups, some things he just didn't pray it through, didn't get victory over, didn't get counseling or help with.
Yes.
And when I put in my resignation and told the church I was going to leave, he wasn't in right then. And he wasn't going to church. And so his wife told him that I'd resigned. And he said, you know, he said, I hate to see Brother Treywick go. He said, because I always felt loved. I felt convicted, but I felt loved. And I think that's where sinners when they come into the church, it's what they've got to feel. They've got to feel conviction.
Right.
But at the same time, we've got to let them know, hey, I've been there.
Yeah.
And I love you because of that.
Yes.
And I'm going to show you somebody that loved you so much.
Yes.
He gave everything. So that's one reason why I like that First Church of Mercy song.
Yeah.
It's what I want my church to be.
Yes.
Can I jump in here and
sure,
say?
Sure,
absolutely, man.
I know you're bilingual.
Yes.
So is there any kind of, is there Spanish music that you enjoy? Or do you still mostly listen to the...
No. I'll read you some of my songs on my playlist.
Okay.
Adam's Fall, Ain't No Grave, Al Clamor Final, Alaba, Alaba Dios, Alabaster Box, All My Hope, Almost Home, Alza Tus Ojos, Amor Eterno. So yeah, my playlist,
yes.
It just goes from, you know, people like Mercy Me, Crowder, to Jose Luis Reyes, and then Dole Lawson and Quicksilver. It's just very eclectic.
I love it.
That is, what a variety. So diverse right there. Oh, man, that's
Could
great.
Could we maybe... I see you got your phone. Could we have a sample of one of the Spanish? Just a little, maybe a snippet. I'm intrigued. I think this is really cool.
Love that guitar.
Oh yeah.
For a long time, I lived on the outside without knowing that there was a profundity, a profoundness. For a long time, I thought that everything had ended right here. And that there wasn't anything way out there. Until I heard a voice that said, "Get up! And I'll show you what I have for you."
Wow.
So cool.
So that song says, lift up your eyes. Listen, I got something for you. So
man, that's
kind of
powerful,
music.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like... Now,
that's the first time someone's asked me to play my Spanish music on
a
podcast.
I'm sorry. I love that. Yeah, that was actually great. I'm glad you asked that, Luke. I really am. Because that... Now, this is going to be a crazy question. Do I know the Spanish, you know, that had guitar in it. Do any of them have do they have a bluegrass type style? Like with...
Okay, not bluegrass, but they have a music called Norteña, which is like northern Mexico, and it has an accordion.
Okay.
And it's almost, it's close to kind of Cajun style, that syncopated accordion style music, and that's Norteña. And then
is it kind of like the mariachi?
No, now mariachi is different in that mariachi has trumpets,
okay,
and
got
guitars,
okay,
and violins, and it's more, I kind of think of like the old big band music, which, by the way, I absolutely love, and I wish someone would come out with some big band gospel. And I love Cajun.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all, you know, y'all from Virginia, but down in Louisiana, I love Cajun style music.
Yes.
And I'd love to have a Cajun gospel CD.
Kind of jazzy.
Yeah,
you know?
Jazzy,
yeah.
And it's got the accordion. I might just like that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I love getting everybody's views on this stuff. It's just amazing to see.
Some folks probably just crucified me.
Hey, we kind of made a joke that's really... major truth. When we first started this podcast, we said we were the potluck of podcasts because it's just where everybody brings something different and we put it together and we try to be a help from all these different varieties. And that's kind of what we're doing here today is,
yeah.
You know, we have one view and you know, Luke's got a view and you've got a view and we're from all different parts and different areas, different backgrounds. And so, hey, that's, you're fitting in perfect, brother, with
all
us,
right.
So don't you worry.
Well, that seems like a great spot to stop today's episode, and we will continue again next week with Brother David. We hope you're being blessed by what you're hearing. We hope you're enjoying this, and if you would, leave us a comment. Let us know if you're enjoying these episodes. Let us know if you have any more questions or information for Brother Trawick, or if you'd like to get information about Brother Trawick, we're going to, again, attach that in the description of the episode, so be sure to look there for that. Again, you can always contact us through our email at definingthe-yahoo.com. Our website is definingthe-us. We have an Instagram site that you can go on. It's defining_the_dash. And we post information on there. We post information about our episodes. If we're actually going to be able to be at meetings like the minister's meeting or the fire conference, we'll post that on there. So be sure to check that out and follow along. And again, until next week, God bless you. Let's make every moment count.